Bryce. It's Chris Underwood. Listen, man, you gotta stop with the Survivor underpants, bro. I don't have any more, dude. I sold them. Stop calling, man. Stop leaving messages about it, bro. It's done. Sorry.
It's the purple pants, it's the purple pants, it's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the purple pants, it's the purple pants.
Greetings and salutations. I'm Bryce Isaiah, and welcome to this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. And ooh, 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 are you in for a treat? We've got a jam-packed episode. I mean a jam-packed episode. But what's up? What's been going on? How is everyone doing? Oh, okay. Well, you know me, busy as a bee. I've been super busy this week, you know, filling these purple pants orders, getting my, ooh, before I even go any further, let me wet the whistle. Hold on. And you know, I'm wetting my whistle in the official Purple Pants Podcast Let Me Wet the Whistle wine glass, which are available at my Shopify account. Click the link in my bio on my Instagram and you can have one. They make great holiday treats. But yes, I've been busy filling these orders. This week, I went to go see K. Michelle. She came to the TLA. She had an amazing tour. And you know, just living life, working, trying to stay out of trouble or trying to find some trouble. I mean, whatever one I can get into. But yeah, I've been busy as a bee. But listen, let's get into this episode, okay? So we got the church announcements. We got on the menu this week, we've got some Survivor news with our resident reporter, Jack Atkins at the University of Chicago. We've got Housewives of Atlanta. We've got Love After Lockup. And oh my God, I'm sad to report that I'm reporting on the season finale. We have a new segment that I've been telling you guys about, the Purple Pants Premonitions with our good friend, Gangsta Gurry. We've got the Purple Pants Picks and we got advice for Bryce. So come on, without further ado, let's get into these church announcements. Now, I've been telling you guys that we throwing a viewing party. We having a viewing party the week of Thanksgiving, and it's here. So Wendell and I, Bryce and Wynn Presents, is throwing a viewing party this Wednesday, November 27th at Bernie's Restaurant and Bar and Grill, which is in the University section of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The address to the watch party is 3432 Sampson Street. So it's going to start around 7:30 and end around 10. And then, you know, we're doing a little after party. If you want to come out and play with us some more, you know, 6-8 events is throwing amazing event at Lucky Stripes Bowling Alley. So we have a fun filled event. So this Wednesday, November 28th, Bryson Wynn presents the Survivor Island of the Idols watch party. And you just never know. You know, we know a couple of survivors. You never know who might pull up. So I hope you guys can come on out this Wednesday. If you listening to it and it's Tuesday, ooh, 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 come on out. Put that turkey in the sink, let it defrost, and come on out and watch Survivor with us. Again, it is this Wednesday, November 27th at Bernie's Bar, Restaurant and Bar. It's 3432 Sampson Street in Philadelphia, PA. I love to see you there. All right, next on the church announcements, y'all. Ooh, listen, Coffeegate, all right? Now, y'all know I've been a loyal coffee creamer stealer of International Delight Southern Pecan, baby. And you know, I love me some International Delight. They show me love online. They follow your baby boy. You know, they send me the coupons, but you know, that's it. You know, I want to be a spokesperson, but you know, International Delight, they act like they don't see me. They act like they don't hear the baby boy. So I was minding my business because y'all know me. I be minding my business. Okay. And I was on Twitter and somebody had tagged me in a post. They said, "Ooh, Bryce, did you see this new Coffee Mate creamers?" And so I just looked at it. I said, "Oh." And so Coffee Mate has some new creamers out. They reveal that they're coming out with Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Funfetti creamers. Now, I replied to the post and I said, "I don't know. I got to try it." And, you know, I went to sleep. I woke up the next day. The next day, Coffee Mate was following me and said, "We love for you to try it." So listen, International national delight, okay? I've been loyal, but y'all ain't been showing me no love. So next episode, I am going to try some coffee mate, cinnamon toast crunch, and fun confetti, and let y'all know what the tea is. And I had to let y'all know if it beats my southern, my international delight, southern pecan. Woo, it's a royal rumble here at the Purple Pants Podcast. And then last church announcement is, you know, Black Friday is coming up. So I just want to let you guys know that on some of my Purple Pants merchandise, I'm going to be running a little sale. You know, the Zaddy calendar, the Hot Girl calendar. Okay, my wine glasses, the hoodies. I'm going to do a special sale for you guys. And I'm introducing a new merchandise. We now have the Purple Pants hats, okay? Listen, you need to rock a dad. You know I love a Zaddy, okay? So listen, I got the Zaddy hats, okay? The Purple Pants Zaddy hats are available now as well, too. They make for great holiday gifts. You know, support your boy, all right? You know, and that concludes this week's church announcements. Now let's get into the menu. What we got on the menu, let's get into the Survivor news. All right, and moving right along on the menu, we are here with the Purple Pants Survivor news, and we have our resident reporter, Jack Atkins, reporting live from Chicago University.
What's poppin', baby? What's poppin'?
Baby boy.
Baby boy.
Are you on the line?
Of course we are, man. We're out in Chicago. We got a little report to do on this week's episode of Survivor. I'm glad to have you here right with me.
I'm glad to be here with you.
Yeah, how's the station in Philly?
The station in Philly is amazing. I mean, so real quick, though, are we talking to Jack? We talking to Nick? Are we talking to Black Jack? Are we talking to John? Who is reporting the news today?
Oh, we got a little bit of everything, man. I came into this, I was feeling real Jack, but, you know, talking to you, I'm feeling like, oh, baby boy. Like, you feeling little John Jr.
Oh, John yeah. Jr. Okay, we got John Jr. in the building, so what's popping?
What's popping? So this week's episode, you know, much better than last week's, I'll say. And right off the bat, Bryce, we get split into two different groups for the challenge. How are you feeling about that with two individual immunities up for grabs? What were your thoughts?
See, now I've never made the merge before, but it's weird because it's like I don't like being split up into two groups, Jack, because it's like, is this the merge or did we break up into different tribes again? Like, it's a lot.
It is a lot, dude. And it's like, I mean, I feel for the players, right? Because you could be in a great spot and then all of a sudden you're split up. You could get screwed over, right? Because we see Karishma is the original target. If Karishma's not in your group, then you got to think of a new damn plan. And even with the group that she is in, we see that suddenly she's a swing vote. So that really changes the game up a lot. But I thought it was pretty exciting. And we see Nora win one immunity and we see our girl Elaine, that's sis. And we see them take home the immunities, and then we have two separate tribals. So just going into the first tribal, we have Aaron, we got Janet, Lauren, Dean, Nora, and Dan, and we see Janet and Aaron as the potential targets. What were your thoughts going into that tribal?
I was getting a little nervous because although from, you know, last week's episode, everyone was like no longer Team Aaron, but I was still Team Aaron. And I'm just like, oh my God, I do not want Aaron in those red shorts to go home.
Oh, baby boy. I agree. I think Aaron brings some spice to the game and we see him go home. But honestly, after last week's episode, I'm so Team Janet. She is just a national treasure to me. So I'm just glad that we did not lose her, to be completely honest with you.
For sure. After seeing how Janet stood up for the girls and, like, you know, gave up her own alliance, I definitely can respect that a lot. But, you know, thinking as a game player, like, do I want to go far with Janet? Because it's like anyone sitting next to Janet will lose.
True. And I wonder if the players were thinking, even from a outside perspective, whether if they took Janet out right then, if they get a lot of heat for that potentially. And I know we saw Dirty Dan lurking in the corner. I wish his ass would have just gone home. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, Dan, get out of here.
Right.
And then right on to the second tribal, we see And then this was a little more interesting because they walk in and they see Aaron on the jury, and we hear Missy, for example, say, "This is not how the jury is supposed to be looking like." What did you think of that comment?
So that comment was a lot. And I feel like, you know, from knowing Missy personally, I know that she could not help that, just like I can never help my facial expressions. But I feel like her saying that was a lot of overconfidence. That, like, you know, yeah. If, say, someone was thinking about voting for Missy, and we see how Missy's interaction with Karishma came off this week, definitely. Like, you know, going into that, it's just like, well, girl, what you saying? So, like, yeah. that was definitely something she should have kept to herself. But knowing
throughout
Missy,
the whole season, yeah, and I know you know Missy, and just from watching her, I mean, she seems very real and pretty dope, as she might say. But you know, a lot of times, you know, she'll come across a little bit arrogant, and really, you know, she's still a young woman too. So you have to think, and I know she was away in the military and gone through a lot. Maybe this time on the island was like a good chance for her to really mature and understand some of those flaws that sometimes come across, especially
definitely.
In the game of Survivor.
But the one thing that I can say, Jack, is that, like, what I can appreciate about Missy and Aaron both is that they came to play Survivor. Like, true. You know, they are the only ones at this point that I feel like, and maybe Kelly, they're actually playing. They're actually making strategic moves. They're actually, like, you know, shaking and baking. Other than that, everyone is just kind of being, like, brought along.
That's true. I mean, I'm a little bit mixed on it. Aaron and Missy were definitely bringing the fire, no doubt. But to me, a lot of the strategy is just because you're not going guns blazing in the pre-merge. That is a strategy in itself, right? Like, and we see in the preview for the next episode, this goat army might assemble. But if you're the best of the goat army, you go on to win.
You said the goat what?
The goat army. You didn't. In the preview, we see Dean, and he's a lieutenant now. He's Lieutenant Dean. Yeah,
Lieutenant Dean.
Yeah, you can see he's been doing some push-ups for the military. He salutes the camera. He's like, "It's time to assemble the goat army." But yeah, that's part of it. It's like, if you're the best of the goats and you get there with the goats, you know, maybe you didn't play the most saucy game, but you did kind of do your thing by not overplaying too much. So
and it all depends on who's on the jury, because some seasons people respect the GOAT army, and other seasons, you know, if we're talking like, you know, Coach the Dragon Slayer, he wants the best of the best. So
yeah,
I mean,
and we kind of saw the same thing in South Africa too, right? Like, our final three were some of the worst players we had, but they did their thing by getting there. So they got heat from us.
Know.
But
I don't if we're talking the Battle of the Bush, I don't think any of the final three did anything to get
there. But I mean yeah, they played the cards they were dealt, right, I guess. But they couldn't compete with you and me. I think they knew that.
Right,
but,
and if you would have stayed loyal to your alliance, we would have anyway. That's another topic.
But yeah, we see Missy going home. And I mean, I know you are cool with Missy. How did you feel about all that, Missy going home?
So I was sad to see Missy go home. But the one thing that I can say that I appreciate it, because, like, you know, the previous episode, the doomsday episode, you know, I went live on my Instagram with Wendeezy. And, you know, one thing that I was like screaming on my Instagram that I felt like got overshadowed was like, wow, this is the first time that we've seen two minorities, Aaron and Missy, win immunity. That's never happened before. And I feel like representation definitely matters. And to see someone like Missy and Aaron take home immunity idols was so powerful. And it just sucks that it kind of got like wrung under the rug, like, you know, with everything that happened. So
I was actually going to ask you about that. We see right before voting starts that Missy goes to Jeff, and she says, like, no disrespect to Jeff, but I think you should have pointed this out during the last tribal. Do you agree with that comment, or do you think it was kind of misplaced?
No, absolutely. Like, and so, but I agree with Missy, but absolutely after last tribal and the serious matters that took place, I definitely think the serious matters, they needed to be talked about and they needed to be dealt with. However,
of course,
we can't not, you know, bring up the fact that we have two minority players winning immunity idols. Like, that was major in my opinion.
But let me run this by you, Bryce. Is it, to me, if Jeff says that, it would be like, it's almost like if he acknowledges that, maybe it's like he thinks, you know, as Jeff is viewing all these players as like equally capable. So to point out that two minorities won, as almost as like a surprise, I feel like that would almost be considered somewhat disrespectful, right? Like, these are just all players. Do you think that's that? There's any case for that, or do you think you really should?
No, not at all, because it is a surprise, because never on Survivor have we seen two minorities. Whenever they do a male and a female winner, have we ever seen an African-American male and an African-American female? So no, true. Not at all.
So he should have just acknowledged that is like a milestone in the game.
For sure. However, I understand why it did not come up, because last week's episode was such horribleism, if yeah. that's a word.
Yeah, yeah.
So I understand why not. And so, and I can understand Missy bringing it up, you know, kudos to her for that. But, you know, unfortunately, for sure. it was her demise, and, you know, she went home and she's a part of the jury.
And then last point I got for you, we see Karishma this episode. She's actually starting to gain a little bit of something, a little bit of power. She finds an idol. She's in a swing vote. I've seen a lot of different opinions of Karishma online. Some people are really liking her, thinking she's doing her thing. Some people really can't stand her. Where do you stand on that?
So, you know, if you listen to my interview with Rob on It's a Look, and I judge everyone by their photos, I said Karishma is going to win. So I love it, because I haven't really liked the edit that I've gotten of Karishma so far. Mm-hmm. You know, if they've shown her, you know, crying and all of this stuff and being a weak player. So I like the power arising from Karishma, because it's like, yes, come on, queen, take your crown. And now you've got an idol. Now you're the swing vote. And now I'm assuming if Dean is you say he was a lieutenant in the GOAT army. Yeah. What do you think Karishma would be?
I mean, we could see Karishma, maybe she's a sergeant, you know. Oh. Maybe she's a lawyer in real life. Maybe she's an attorney for the army.
Okay.
And you know, we could see Nora in that army too, and she might be the whole general, you know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Nora is just, she's on the front line. I don't know if Nora holds
yeah,
any position.
Nora's probably like doing some drugs and just running in she's like running in the battle, you know what I'm saying? She's going
Nora
crazy.
Is definitely on the front line.
Yeah.
So for sure of that. Yeah. But I love the rise of Karishma.
For sure. We'll see if she can keep it going. And how's Timmy doing also? Is Timmy good?
Timmy is hey Jack, it's Timmy. I didn't really like hanging out in your dorm last week. It smelled like socks and Cheetos. Timmy,
you're the one who wanted the damn Cheetos, Timmy. How are you, like, what the fuck, Timmy? Bryce, you got control of this kid. Where is Wendell, too?
I don't even know. He's always leaving him at my house. My dad does not let me act. Timmy, go in the corner.
Jeez. Okay, yeah. Well, it was great talking to you, Timmy. I guess it was okay talking to you, too. Don't give Bryce too much of a hard time. Any other thoughts, Bryce?
No, it was definitely a rebound episode for sure. I was happy definitely. That it kind of got to a regular pace, and I'm excited to see what this week episode brings.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Go Army, baby.
Yes, go Army. Or what is it? It's not what you can do for Survivor. It's what Survivor can do for the GOATs.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Jack, for bringing us this week's Purple Pants Survivor News.
Of course, Bryce.
And, you know, we'll holler back at you next week for some more Survivor News.
Of course. Enjoy the rest of the episode. I'm sure you're going to bring that fire. You know.
Okay, I got that heat and that smoke, baby.
What you
boy.
Looking for?
Yeah. Which brings us next down the menu is Atlanta Housewives. Now, woo, woo. Now, the episodes are starting to get juicy. They're getting juicy, juicy, juicy. So let's see. Who do we want to start with? We can start with Kenya. So, again, with Kenya's storyline, you know, we got her husband, Mark Daly, the baby, Brooklyn. The baby is super, super cute. Now, on this week's episode, we see a lot of Kenya meeting with Candy. So, in the beginning of the episode, Kenya and Candy are meeting. And Kenya is talking about, you know, she wants to go on her 1-year anniversary with her husband. They want to go to Turks and Caicos. They want to have a good time. But Kenya want to leave the baby at home. She want to have some adult fun with her husband. And I can't blame her. And she's kind of like revealing to Candy that Mark wants to bring the baby with them on their anniversary. Now, that's cute. You know, family together. You know, we here for the family unit together. But something in the hocus pocus, Mark does not want to bring a nanny. He just wants them three. So how are you supposed to bring the baby and have some alone time with your wife. Like, I don't know what's that about. So Kenya is obviously having some issues with that. She reveals that to Candy. And then we have Candy on the episode. She is, you know, she's pregnant. She has got a surrogate that's carrying her child. And Dr. Jackie from Married to Medicine is her doctor. And so Candy's surrogate is maybe, I believe at this point, maybe like 14, 15 weeks. And so they want to include Candy's son, Ace. I think he's like 3 or 4 at this point. They want to include him in the process of, like, you know, mommy's having a baby, but mommy not pregnant. And so, like, you know, where they getting the baby from? So we go into the ultrasound. We get to see Candy and we get to see Ace, her cute son, and they get to see the baby. And it's like such an amazing time. But I guess Candy really discovers at this point, Dr. Jackie explains that when they go into labor, that after she gives birth to the baby, they're going to pass the baby to Candy in the other room. Candy going to be in the bed, topless, and they want that skin-to-skin connection with the child. And then, really, the relationship with the surrogate is done. Thank you so much. You delivered this baby. Goodbye. And so Candy is like, that's kind of seem weird a little bit. But yeah, I wanted to be a surrogate too back in the day. You know, I wanted to be a lot of things. But, you know, God didn't bless me with those ovaries. And so I guess that if I were a surrogate, I probably will want to see the child. But I'm assuming that if you get to see the child and you start bonding, then you start to get those feelings. And then it's like, you know, you start second guessing yourself. So as hard as it sounds, I probably think that that would be the best thing, is that, you know, you pop the baby out, or however it come out, might be a C-section, or if you pop it out. But you know, I'm a midwife too. So any Purple Pants posses, y'all having a baby, you know, midwife Bryce could come to the rescue. I put them gloves on. We could deliver that baby. So, you know, Candy's kind of coming to grips with that. But also here on the Purple Pants podcast, I would like to send my congratulations to Candy and Todd, because on November 22nd, they gave birth to their beautiful baby girl. Her name is Blaze Tucker. She was born at 6:45 p.m. She came in at a whopping 8 pounds and 1 ounce. So we just want to send from the Purple Pants podcast to Todd and Candy and their family, congratulations. Now, moving right along to Miss Portia. So Portia is still really dealing with the, you know, her baby daddy, Dennis McKinney, you know, stepping out on their relationship. So it was all over the blogs this summer. And now we get to see it kind of sort of playing out in real life. And so she doesn't want to go back to work. She's kind of dealing with that. She goes into therapy with Dr. Sherry. Now, any of you guys know that watched Bravo, Dr. Sherry been on the Housewives. Dr. Sherry's been on the Housewives of Potomac, the Housewives of Atlanta. She's been on Growing Up Hip Hop. Like, Dr. Sherry is the therapist in Atlanta. And so Dr. Sherry is kind of really talking with Portia, and Portia's just like, you know, I heard that he cheated on me, and that's all the confirmation that I needed. And Dr. Sherry like, well, maybe that's just all you heard, but you didn't maybe hear his reasoning or understanding. And Portia's like, I don't need to know all of that. And Dr. Sherry's like, well, it's important for you to kind of understand where he's at. She's like, I'm not saying that you should forgive him, but what I am saying is that you should hear him out, to hear his point of view. And so this week we get to see Portia go back to work. You know, she's by herself. She got her mom in the house. And so she brings PJ to work with her. So she's back at Dish. No, what is it? Dish. She's back at Dish Nation, and she kind of struggles in the beginning to get back on her little flow of things, but you know, she has a great time. She brings the baby back and she's realizing, like, you know what, I'm back at work. I wasn't even thinking about Dennis. Now here's some other drama about Portia that spilled over into the real world this week. Now everyone knows The Real on daytime TV. It's got Lonnie Love, it's got Adrian Belong from, I'm saying her name wrong, from the Cheetah Girls, from 3LW. It's got Jeannie, and it's got, I think it's Tia or Tamara from, you know, Sister, those actors. So that's like a show like the, that was like a horrible description of all of their names. I'm sorry. Listen, let me wet the whistle. I'm wetting the whistle. I ain't even tell y'all what the whistle is being wet with this week. Same old, same old. You know, I'm a basic hoe, okay? Ain't no hocus pocus in my tea. So I just have some Tito's and I have some seltzer water. It is orange pineapple mango seltzer water by Deer Park. They make a little seltzer water, and I got some raspberries and I got some blueberries muddled in that. Okay, so hold on, wait, let me wet the whistle before I tell y'all to see what happened this week, okay? So It was reported by The Shade Room. Now, if y'all don't know what The Shade Room is, The Shade Room basically is like the urban TMZ, okay? They get you together with all the tea. Now, as do a lot of other platforms like the Purple Pants Posse, they give the rundown on the Housewives. Now, on The Real last week, they gave their thoughts on Portia and Dennis McKinney. Do we have a clip? Let's play the clip.
I couldn't do it, but I'm not going to judge somebody else for the way they choose to live their life or the decisions she's going to make.
Portia's trying to
I don't understand.
Let me tell you something. Portia's okay. trying to get that reality show. That's what that is. All right.
Whew. Now, The Shade Room posted that clip, and that was basically Adrian kind of sort of saying basically like, if my husband cheated on me, I could not stay with him. And that was Lonnie Love insinuating that maybe Portia was just doing all of this to maybe get a spinoff show. Now, Portia stepped into The Shade Room and said, BF you, fake ass, don't run up on me smiling when you see me. So I guess, you know, the last time Portia and Lonnie had seen each other, you know, Lonnie Love, you know, was, you know, smiling in Portia's face. Then, you know, it gets better. Lonnie Love replied back and said, Portia, I didn't say anything bad. You know it. It was a lighthearted comment. I hope you understand I'm a comic, okay? And so, how y'all feel about that? Now, that's like, you know, I understand for sound bites, but it's like, if that's your friend, you shouldn't be popping off at the mouth like that, Lonnie. Like, and obviously, like, you know, this is a reality show, but I feel like a lot of the girls, they bear their life out on the show. Update, Lonnie Love posted to her Instagram, all is good. We talked to Portia, and she says to Portia that she promises to keep her word, okay? So, oof, that's a little tea. You know, listen, the Atlanta Housewives, they get spicy. So then we've got, who else do we got on the menu? We got Miss Cynthia. So, last that we talked about Cynthia, the interaction between Cynthia and Nene. You know, we waited all last episode to see this interaction, and then the episode plays, and we don't even get to see the reaction. So, of course, this episode starts off with the reaction, and like I suspected, Nene walked up the steps and was saying hi to somebody else. And so, you know, Bravo shows Nene and Cynthia locking eyes, and you know, Cynthia is giving an interview, and Cynthia says, hello, Miss Leaks, and Nene says, hey, Miss Bailey, how are you? Nene continues to kind of do her rounds. Noelle is there. Nene speaks to Noelle, Cynthia's daughter, and then, you know, Nene is leaving, and Cynthia says, you look nice, Miss Leaks, and Cynthia, that's what Cynthia says to Nene. Nene says, you know, so do you. And then Nene leaves and goes to her float. Then Bravo shows us with Noelle talking to Cynthia like, Nene spoke to me and I spoke. Is that okay? And, you know, Cynthia's like, yeah, that Nene loves you. The beef that we have has nothing to do with you guys. And so that basically was it, you know. And so then we see Marlo. Marlo is playing the peacemaker. So Marlo then has a lunch with Cynthia and Eva. Now, we know last season, Eva and Marlo did not get along because, you know, it was Eva's wedding. And Marlo was spreading the gossip of one of Eva's bridesmaids was spilling the tea that they were saying allegedly that Eva was broke, that the house that she lives in is rented, is under somebody else's name. They're having financial problems, and of course, you know, they on a reality show. So Marlo brought the tea back to all of the girls, and including Nene. And so Eva has a problem with Nene because she felt like she co-signed Marlo with a lot of this. And so that was the drama last season. So, you know, there's a lunch or a dinner. I don't know what time it is there. But, you know, so Marlo shows up and, you know, Eva and Cynthia have already ordered. Eva got her lamb. She got some salad. And as soon as Marlo comes, Eva's like, can we get this to go? And Marlo's like, come on, Diva, what's wrong, Diva? You don't have to run, Diva. Eva like, I got to go. And Marlo's like, ooh, I wanted some of that lamb. And Eva was like, leave her some lamb. And then Eva takes her dinner and goes sits at a bar. Ooh, child, I wouldn't have left for no lamb, that's for sure, if I was Eva. So Eva and Cynthia meet, and I guess Cynthia is a little like perplexed as to why Marlo wants to meet with her, because Marlo is like best friends with Nene, and I'm assuming that Cynthia is like, you know, she gonna be team Nene. I don't know why she wanna meet with me. But really, like I've been saying this whole season, there's a new Marlo in town. Marlo is now, normally Marlo can call some trouble, and Marlo ain't one to back down from nobody. But this season, Marlo seems to be on her peacemaking piece. And I don't know if it's because she's got her nephews with her. They call her Monty, you know, mom and auntie. But basically, Marlo shares with Cynthia that she really wants Nene and Cynthia to work it out. And what I do appreciate about Marlo is that Marlo's like, well, Cynthia, girl, you act like you haven't been out here on these, you know, internet circuits and these interview circuits kind of like, you know, trashing Nene. And Cynthia does not like, you know, she don't like say that she hasn't been. But what Cynthia says is every time that her and Nene get into a fight, she always takes the high road and she feels like Nene always trashes her in the press. And so Cynthia's defense is like, well, the second that I go to the press, now I'm the bad guy. And so basically what Marlo says is that, listen, Cynthia, you're my friend. I respect and support you. And I just want you guys to get through this. And I really feel as though Nene and Cynthia's relationship really kind of weighs heavy on Marlo because, like, you know, they was like a threesome at one point. And so I really think that they got through to Cynthia. They're like, wow, maybe Marlo is coming to me with, you know, some real tea, being a real friend. And so Cynthia kind of like, you know, appreciates that. Now, fast forward, Marlo has a lunch with Nene, Miss Nene Leaks. Bloop. And basically, it's the same conversation. Marlo's like, I met with Cynthia. And Nene like, oh, really? And basically, Marlo says the same thing that she says to Cynthia. It's like, listen, sis, you know, she took some shots at you with the press. You took some shots at her at the press. And what I'm saying to her and what I'm saying to you is it wasn't right. And so Nene gets all of her feelings like, but no, you got to understand. You got to understand. You know, I got a Nene and I got a Nene. And she's like, Cynthia got a Cynthia and Cynthia got a two-piece 50 Cent. And so, you know, Nene is really wanting to say that, like, you know, she is completely innocent in this situation and that, like, you know, she's only on a defense, and which I do kind of agree. However, this is problematic for me and Nene. I do love Nene. Nene is my girl. I see a lot of me and Nene. However, I feel like a lot of the times Nene has a hard time taking up for her own actions, and that sometimes she, like, you know, act like her poo poo don't stink. I still love you, Miss Leaks, but I got to call a spade a spade. I'm Marlo today, okay? It's some hocus pocus going on over here. I'm Marlo Hampton. And so, you know, Marlo really kind of sticks to her guns. Like, listen, sis, I really feel like that you were wrong, and I really feel like you guys need to work it out. And so Nene kind of sort of gets to her feelings because she feels like Marlo is basically taking Cynthia's side. And so, ciao, Nene gets up, okay? And Nene walks away. And then, you know, Marlo is like, come on, I'm not about to chase you. I'm not about to chase you. So mind you, they're in New York because they're still in New York for New York Pride. And so Nene gets one of them little bike cabs and she's like, take me away. And so you see Marlo walking out and then boom, 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 boom. And Nene is off in the bike cab, but it's just crazy. And so obviously one of, like, the storylines that we know that's going to be developing is, like, Nene and Kenya. You know, they hate each other. And I, for, you know, different reasons, Kenya feels like Nene is threatened by her presence because, you know, Kenya feels like she's a bigger star than Nene. I don't think so. And we really, and, you know, Nene just don't like her. And, you know, Nene was really good friends with Cynthia. And then, you know, when they had a falling out, kind of Kenya swooped in and became her best friend. And so that's really a rift. And so this week when Nene was on Watch What Happens Live, you know, Andy Cohen always has his guests play games. And one of the games is Plead the Fifth, where he'll ask the guests questions, three questions, and they have to answer it. And without having to plead the fifth or not answer it. And so this week, Andy Cohen asks Nene to say three nice things about Kenya Moore. And baby boy, this is what Miss Leaks had to say.
Sure. You know, I'm not the real evil one here, okay? I think she has nice contacts. I think she has a nice grade of hair. Yes. And let me think.
Come on, Nene, a real one.
Those are so real. And I think, nice. I think the line around her lip is nice.
And ooh. And the line around my lips is going to wrap around this wine glass, and I'm about to wet the whistle to that. Well, So needless to say, Nene and Kenya even now are not in a good place. And, you know, I will keep you posted here at the Purple Pants Podcast. Now, moving right along. Moving right along, let's get to the season finale of Love After Lockup. I cannot believe we didn't cover the whole season of Love After Lockup here on the Purple Pants Podcast. It's been a great season. You know, we made some friends, you know, Lacey and Shane, you know, they my new BFFs. But real quick, let me just give you the rundown on, you know, Glorietta, Angela, Tony, Cheryl, Josh, Amber, and Vince, and Lacey, and John, and Shane. Okay, so real quick, Glorietta, you know they wasn't in a great place at the car show. You know, he got Alex just bust up, got into a fight with her, kept asking her, like, what's up, what's the tea, why you want to be with me? Now, we know that Alex has seen his old girlfriend, Juliana, and, you know, he wanted to be with her. So this week's episode, after that major blow up at the car show, and basically Shane was like, I don't need to be here, and left her, we see Glorietta and her mom, Tammy. Now, in previous episodes, I done said that Aunt Glorietta's mom, Tammy, is too hype and annoying. Now, I might have to renege on that today. So, Glorietta is with her mom, and they are still planning this wedding. Glorietta, what is wrong? What in the hocus pocus, girl, is wrong with you? So, she's still planning this wedding with her mom. And the mom is like, I feel like you're not telling me something. Like, what's up? And I feel like something else is going on. What's up? And Glorietta's like, well, listen, we're every couple fights, you know. You know, Alex and I are having some disagreements. And basically, Tammy, like, girl, I feel like he not honest with you. I feel like he living another life, okay? Tammy must know some tea. And so, Tammy, like, well, where is he at now? And Glorietta's like, well, he's at Cato and Dawn's house, you know. And so she's like, well, let's go there now. And so Glorietta's like, I don't know why, mom, like, you know, Alex has never given me a reason not to trust him, baby. Now the Weed TV flash and shows that Alex is, you know, talking about how he realizes that, you know, he needs to see Juliana again, and you know that, you know, he's been thinking about her, and he really feels like she is the one for him. So Glorietta and Tammy pull up to Cato and Dawn's, like, you know, they have a auto body shop, okay? And Glorietta knocks on a child. There's a trailer parked at the auto body shop. She knock on the door. Okay, that's where Alex living. Alex is living, okay, Glorietta wants to marry Alex, and he's living in a abandoned R&B at Dawn and Cato's shop, okay? So he's not there. Oop. So then Glorietta goes inside. She sees Dawn. Dawn is like kind of like surprised, like, hey, girl, what's up? And Glorietta's like trying to play it off like, hey, I guess I could have called, but I just wanted to pop in and see Alex. And Dawn's like, well, he's not here. But Dawn like, girl, let me talk to you around back. You know, we got customers here. So basically, Dawn's like, well, what's going on, girl? And Glorietta is like, you know, he didn't come home the last couple of days. He got into a fight. I'm just really worried. He's not picking up my phone call. And Dawn is just like, well, you think he got somebody else? And Glorietta's like, well, I don't think so. I don't know. So Dawn calls Alex. It goes right to voicemail. You know, it's like, yo, you reach Alex. I ain't picking up the phone right now. And so Dawn's like, well, at least he's not just not answering your phone call. He's not answering everybody's phone calls. 2 seconds later, bring, bring, bring. It's Alex calling. And Glorietta's like, oh, he doesn't know you're with me. Pick up. So she picks up on speakerphone. Alex like, yo. And Dawn's like, hey, where you at? And Alex is like, I'm on my way to your house. And Dawn like, my house? And then Alex like, who is this? And then Dawn like, it's Dawn. He like, oh, I didn't have your number saved. I ain't recognize who this was. Who house you on your way going to, Alex? Okay? Whose house are you going to? Okay? Because your RV is right here and Glorietta's right here. And so basically, Dawn is like, well, your girl is looking for you. And Alex like, I don't got no girl. She ain't my girl. She thinks she my girl, but she not my girl. And so Dawn is like, oh. And mind you, you can imagine Glorietta's face. Hold on. That was me picking Glorietta's jaw up off the ground. So he like, yeah, I'm getting ready to go to Cafe Latte Bate and meet some friends. And so they hang up. And then, you know, Dawn is like, yeah, girl, I don't know. So basically, you know, Glorietta go tell her mom, like, what happened? And Tammy like, let's go to Cafe Latte Bate. Now, I don't know the name of the cafe, but I'm just making it up. Cafe Latte Bate. Now, Tammy ready to turn up. And Glorietta's like, you know what? I can't believe this. I'm going to go confront him. So they on their way driving, and Tammy like, I told you. So bump, 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 bump. They pull up. Okay, they pull up to the restaurant, and you can see Alex sitting at a table with Juliana. So Glorietta, clunk, 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 clunk. Wait, let me wipe my whistle, because this is the good part. Hold on. Excuse me. So she pull up, and she like, what's going on? And so Juliana looks surprised. You know, Alex looks surprised, and he's like, what's up? And she's like, it looks like you're on a date. Are you guys on a date? And Juliana's like, yeah. And Juliana is like, hi. And Glorietta's like, did he tell you that he's engaged? And Juliana is just kind of sitting there, because mind you, for real, Juliana basically said she didn't want anything to do with Alex while he was with Glorietta, and that he needed to break it off. So I don't even blame Glorietta. So basically Alex stand up and he's like, well, you know, it just ain't been working out and I don't really want to be with you. And then Glorietta's like, you don't want to be with me. And so I guess like Shane, or not Shane, child, we ain't get to Shane yet. I guess Alex kind of like touches her shoulder like, listen, it's just not working out. Here come Tammy. Tammy like, don't touch my daughter. So Tammy getting in Alex's face and Alex like, yo, you need to calm down. She like, you don't need to tell me to calm down. You with my daughter. She was with you. She took care of you. She provided you money. Child, Tammy gets so mad. She get a glass, whoosh, split into his face. Alex like, hey, yo, what you doing? He throw a glass back at her. Child, her mom get another glass, throw it at her. Then her mom start, whoa, 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 start wailing on him. Glorietta like, this is getting uncomfortable, security. Child, the police pull in, and that Glorietta and her mom, just they walk out. Okay, they walking out, and Glorietta mom like, yeah, yeah, I should have punched him in his face. Glorietta mom is so hyped right now, it don't even make no sense. Mind you, Tammy, your daughter just got her heart broken. And you like, yeah, yeah, should have punched him in his face. But real quick though, I was team Tammy today, because you know what? You're not gonna play my daughter, Alex, okay? First of all, you wanting to know why 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Forget all of that, because now I'm mad. Because you know what, Alex, you playing a game. Because you came out here, Glorietta, he talk about Glorietta changed, she was different. Glorietta been the same crazy hoe, okay? It ain't no hocus pocus with Glorietta. She been the same girl this whole darn time. You just met up with Juliana, okay, and now you just want to be with her. Don't play with me, Alex. So basically they over, and at the end of the episode they was like, Glorietta got back with her ex. Oh, and then Juliana, you know, because everybody get a confessional, Juliana was like, this is too much. She was like, I can't risk my sobriety, you know, he put me in the middle of this bull crap. I was thinking about getting back with him, but I'm done. And so basically at the end of the episode, it basically says that Alex went back to jail for some felony charges, okay, and that Glorietta got back with her ex. Good for you, Glorietta. You just need to make better decisions with your life. Alright, let's get into Amber and Vince real quick, because y'all got me, let me wet the whistle, y'all, because I'm hot right now. So Amber and Vince, you know, she confessed to Puffy mom that it ain't gonna work out, that she's really with Puffy. They was trying to scam Vince, you know, all of that. They went to the family barbecue. The family was feeling Vince. You know, her mom called from jail. They telling her, girl, you gotta meet Vince, he's a nice one. So this episode, it ends up that, you know, they're back home and, you know, Amber's at Puffy mom house and she like, I'm about to go meet Vince at the gym. So Vince is at the gym working out and Amber's just like, you know, it's just not really working out. Now, here's the thing. And, you know, she keeps saying, you know, Vince ain't who he said he was. You know, he's not like the person. He's so different. And Vince the whole time is like, well, listen, relationships have ups and downs. Like, I really want this to work out. Like, what can we do? Like, what are the steps that I can do? He's like, you know, you've been out for 3 weeks now. We've had no contact. And basically Amber is saying like, it's not working, it's not gonna work. You're different. You know, and Vince is like, well, I'm willing to put in the work. I understand it's awkward. Basically Amber ain't having it and Vince keeps trying it and they a done deal. And so basically Amber got a job, you know, she working now. And then child, they say at the end of this episode that, listen, Vince has been talking to some girl in the Philippines and they getting ready to meet soon. Why Vince always trying to meet these people that he don't know about, like that you can't never meet? Vince ain't that bad looking. He got a nice little body. I don't know what the hocus pocus is going on with Vince. But yeah, Amber, Vince, they done. And I don't even got time for Amber. I'm not even going to give her that much time on this podcast because she pissing me off. And Alex already pissed me off because she keep trying to say that it's Vince. Like, he's not the person that he betrayed. Girl, you try to, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You just admitted the whole point to being with Vince is to con him to get money so that you and Amber and your mom could live happily ever after. So how is he not the person that you wanted him to be? Girl, shut up. All right. Next, Sheryl and Josh. I need an inhaler at this point because they got me mad, y'all. They got me mad. Okay, who we got? Sheryl and Josh. You know, Sheryl's sister came to see her. You know, she got into a fight because Sheryl was grilling Josh like, what's up? Like, what are you doing? You know, being a good sister. You know, Sheryl went off on her sister, say she used to be a drug addict. She fixed her life around. If she could do it, Josh could do it. But the sister said, I don't got time for this. You know, the sister's name's Lacey. She was like, I ain't got time for this. I'm leaving. So this week's episode, it starts off, you know, Lacey's packing her bags and Cheryl is kind of like, you know, Cheryl's smoking a cigarette and she's kind of like upset that, you know, she got into a fight with her sister. She wants her sister to stay. Her sister like, listen, I got to get home to my kids. I got, you know, things to, you know, be concerned about. I got to go. Okay. That's what Cheryl needs to be doing, talking about her kids. And then, you know, in the confessional, because everybody gets a confessional, basically Lacey says that she's concerned for Cheryl, that, you know, she's just over here, like, you know, wasting her life away. So then Josh meets up with his mom, Tina. You know, Tina don't like Cheryl because she thought Cheryl was trying to put the hots on her man. And so, you know, Josh and his mom meet up for some breakfast and beer. Okay, I guess that's what they do over there. And basically he's telling his mom that, like, you know, Cheryl stuck it out for him. You know, she's been financially supportive of him. And, you know, his mom is like, well, girl, his mom, Tina, like, money ain't everything. And Josh is like, I feel like she deserves somebody to be there for her, and I really want to propose to her. And then his mom's like, huh, you want to make that decision? So next time we see them is Josh is taking Cheryl somewhere where Cheryl don't know where they're going. But, you know, Cheryl driving the car because, you know, Josh don't got a car. So Cheryl's like, where are we going? But, bitch, you driving the car. So anyway, Josh takes her to this castle. And basically he's like, you know, I'm thinking about, like, this is where I want to get married. So they get out. And, you know, Cheryl's like, oh, okay, yeah, like, he's like, is this, like, the castle that your sister got married at? And Cheryl's like, my sister's castle was a little bigger. Now, mind you, this castle is a little run down, okay? It's not where I would imagine to get married at. It's like an open park. It's kids running around, running up and down the steps. The wedding planners are there basically saying, like, you know, it's a little dark in here. So, you know, you would have to have the wedding during the day because there's no electricity or no natural light. And Cheryl's like, yeah, that's not that good. And then they're like, also, yeah, it's open to the public, so you can't really, like, close it off. So even if you were getting married, the castle would still be open. Cheryl like, well, that ain't gonna work. Cheryl like, you know, my sister wedding, there was 500 people there. At the ceremony, there was 100 people there. And then so they take them off to this, like, balcony of the castle, which is kind of cute. But the one time Cheryl brings up her kids, she's like, yeah, this probably wouldn't be safe for my kids here because they probably fall off and, you know, roll down a rock and hurt themselves. And so, you know, Cheryl is just kind of bringing up her concerns, you know. But I think it's cute that Josh is taking the initiative to, you know, show her some wedding venues. So then out of some hocus pocus stuff came over Josh, and Josh was like, you know what, your attitude since we got out here, it ain't been good. He was like, and to think that I was going to, like, propose to you here, like, it's done, we're done. Okay, in the middle, and mind you, the wedding planners are sitting there like, what is going on? And Cheryl's like, are you serious right now? Josh is like, yeah, your attitude, you keep comparing everything to this, everything to that. Like, your attitude sucks. Like, I don't want to be with somebody that can't even appreciate me trying. Like, you can go. Like, you know, you can go. Cheryl's like, you want me to go? Josh is like, yeah, go. So Cheryl's storming down the steps. She got to walk down these steps. And she's like, you know, as the producer talks to her, she's like, get your stuff out of my car. Get your stuff out of my car. My boyfriend just dumped me. Get your stuff out of my car. So, you know, she gets out of her car. She's smoking a cigarette. And then she's like, you know, talking to the producers like, you know what, his little cheap lying self, he wasn't even really gonna propose to me, you know. And then the producer Shady is like, well, aren't you already engaged? She's like, yeah, with the ring I bought myself. You know, he's got that $300 watch that I gave him, and, you know, he can't even buy me a $50 ring. And then, you know, basically we see Josh like, yeah, you know, nothing was ever good enough for her. Like, I'm just glad I didn't, you know, make a big mistake and get engaged to her. And then Josh is like, this castle's so cool. It's got a dragon. And then Josh takes a selfie with a dragon. Okay. Then their storyline is they break up. But then what they say to them is that their closing is like, Cheryl moved back home. But after she moved back home, her and Josh recently got back together. So I don't really know what that means. Okay. Let's get into Angela and Tony, because, ooh, it's a doozy. So basically, you know, Angela got Tony back living in the house. She done gave him the motorcycle. She done gave up the cootie cat, okay? They live in a happily ever life. So, you know, it's early in the morning, and, you know, Tony's looking at his motorcycle that Angela gave him, and Angela come outside with two large glasses of beer, okay? Because I guess everybody smokes cigarettes and drinks beer in the morning. So, you know, they just having a good old day, and here come Angela's sister pull up, Donna Faye. And, you know, she like, Tony, this my sister Donna Faye. And she like, what is he doing? And Angela's like, well, he's looking at the motorcycle. She like, the motorcycle? She's like, yeah, I gave him a motorcycle. He needed, you know, to get back to work. She like, Tony, do you have a job? He's like, yeah, no, I don't have a job, but I need transportation to get back, you know, and forth to work. And Tina Faye, and here's the thing, I'm team Tina Faye. I mean, Donna Faye. Donna Faye was not with none of the crap. She like, it just don't make no sense. I feel like you kind of my sister. And then she turned to Angela cringing. It's like, why would you give him a motorcycle? Like, he hasn't proved anything to you. And he needs it. He needs to get it back and forth to the job he doesn't have. So Dina Faye is grilling Tony. Like, listen, I think you a con artist. And then so basically, Tony goes inside to get a chair to, you know, sit out on a patio. And basically, Dina Faye is like, he's playing you, girl, like you're stupid. And so here comes Tony. Tony come out and Angie is like, you know, because that's what Dina Faye called her, Angie. She like, Angie, I don't like it. So Tony comes out and Angie is like, Tony, Dina thinks that, you know, you're using me. I don't want to start no mess, but you know. And Dina Faye like, well, it sounds like you trying to start some mess. Why would you just tell him what I just told you? So Dina Faye just basically continues to go off on him, and then basically that's it. And then Tony's like, well, you know, why would I be 3,000 miles from where I live to be with her? And Dina Faye is like, because you just got out of jail. You don't have anywhere else to go. What are you talking about? Dina Faye lay into that ass and basically, like, you know, scene over. Next scene is, you know, Angela is, you know, the dining room table that's next to her stove that I was telling y'all about. She's making Tony some ham sandwiches because, you know, when he was in the halfway house, he had to participate in therapy. And so according to Tony, he's still participating in therapy. So, you know, Angie wants to be a good, you know, I want to be a good, you know, woman to my man. So I'm going to make him some, you know, mustard and some mayonnaise and some ham sandwiches for him to go to therapy. Thank you, Angela. You're welcome, Bryce. So she making him a ham sandwich, and she like, you got to go to therapy today. He's like, yes, baby. Mwah, mwah. I'm learning so much. Mwah. Learning so much at therapy. Mwah. It's so great. And so Angela's like, well, tell me about therapy. Mwah. I can. It's confidential. Bitch, if you don't get out of here with that. So Angela like, you know, I still have my concerns with Tony, you know, but oh, I forgot to tell y'all. Okay, so forget, pause that part that I just told y'all. So after Dina Faye leave, the next time that we see Tony and Angela is Angela's driving down the street and Tony call her. He's like, meet me at the lake. I gotta get something off my chest. And Angela's like, oh God, you just never know with Tony. He's always up to something and just always gets me so nervous. Okay, so then she meets up with, you know, him at the lake, and basically he proposes to her. Child, he found a $200 ring. Where they be getting these deals from? Okay. And Angie's like, oh my God, you're so sweet. I love you. I love you. I love you, child. Now, let's just break this down and put this into perspective. So she's driving to wherever she was going. He calls her and says, I need to talk to you. Got to get something off my chest. Meet me at the lake. Her first reaction is that he about to spill some tea about another woman. Okay. And then you go there and then he says, I love you. I want to marry you. I want to get engaged. And of course she says yes. Like, where's the rationale? I'm sorry. If my man tell me, come meet him somewhere, and the first thing in my mind is thinking about you about to tell me to cheat and you propose, I don't think that relationship is where it needs to be. So anyway, they're engaged. Okay, fast forward back to Angela making the turkey sandwiches with mustard and cheese, and she don't even really got a lot of mayonnaise, so she's like, oh, mayonnaise is going to be messy today. A mess. So Tony getting ready to go to therapy, and you know, he leaves out the door. She's like, come back home. And so Tony driving her car on his way to therapy, and basically he's like, you know, the best thing about being outside the halfway house is that, like, you know, he also talks about his addiction. He says, like, you know, he's drug addicted, and that, like, the therapy is really kind of helping him channel his addiction to other things, not drugs. So he's driving the car, and he's like, you know, the best thing about being outside of the halfway house is that, you know, he can make his own decision where he wants to go. He goes, oh, but before I go to therapy, I want to just stop and see my old friends at the hotel. The hotel? You mean a hotel where you ran off was playing basketball with some girl? So he parks the car in front of a motel, and he's basically like, yeah, the motel is really strict about cameras, so you guys can't come in. Now, let's also remember, this is the same hotel that when Angela and Tommy pulled up, they just, nobody was there, and they went right into the back where the employees are with the cameras while that lady Amy was folding clothes and Angela was getting ready to fight her. Yeah, that's the same hotel that he's saying that is really strict about cameras. So he's like, you guys gotta stay here. I just wanna go say hi to my friends. And so basically he goes into a motel. We can't see who the person is, okay, but we can hear it's a female, and she's like, hi, baby, and he closes the door. Now, the same motel that is so concerned about cameras, the next clip that we see is from the security cameras, okay? And we can see the door of the motel, and we can hear a little rumble fumble, and then the phone rings, and he's like, oh God, it's Angela. And, you know, ring, he's like, hello, hey baby, hi. I just wanted to check to see how therapy's going. Oh, it's going really good. I'm learning a lot. Oh, that's good. Yeah, it's great. I love it here. Oh, all right. I'm glad you're getting a lot out of therapy. Yeah, call me back. I'll call you back. And he hangs up. Okay, Child, and that's the last we see Angela and Tony. Now let's get into Lacey, Shane, and John. Whew, it was a lot that happened with Lacey and Shane. Okay, so basically we know last time Lacey, she met up with John to get the paternity test done. She, you know, she had her little boobies out, her little sundress. John was pushing up on her. He took the paternity test. Okay, she told Shane about it. Shane wasn't too happy, but he loved her. He proposed to her. They're getting engaged. Okay, so we at the beach now. Okay, and Lacey's with her kids and her dad. You know, John's there. Her daddy, John. Not John John, but her daddy John is there with the kids. He out there smoking cigarettes. She's basically telling her dad that John's on his way over because, you know, they got the paternity test. And so, you know, she wants to, like, tell him the paternity test in person. So John pulls up. They're on the shore. Now, John, he go back and forth. When he first got out of jail, he looked at a mess. Then, you know, when she seen him for the paternity test, he looked at an eye. But now he got a little wife beater on, a little tan. John look all right. And so John kind of, like, pulls up. He says hi to Lacey. He says hi to the kids. The kids are like, John's here. And so the grandpa, John, is like, you're doing good. I hear you got a job. And John's like, yeah, I'm working. He's like, you're staying out of trouble. And he's like, trying to. So obviously there must be some tension between John and John, because Lacey dad, I didn't really feel like he said anything smart. But basically they get into, like, this physical, like, not a physical but a verbal altercation, and Lacey dad, like, you ain't gonna do nothing, you a punk. And then John's like, I'll mess you up, old head. And then John is like, do it, you haven't moved a second, do it, I want you to do it, I'll lay you on the ground. And Lacey's like, stop. So she gets in between them and she's like pulling who just got out of jail, John, back up to, like, the shoreline. And so John keeps talking like, you old punk. And Lacey's like, don't talk to my dad like that. Slaps him in the face. And John's like, you hit me again and I will knock you the boop out. And Lacey's like, excuse me? And she's like, that's it. So she gets the kids from the beach. They go in the house and Lacey's like, I'm done filming for the day. She shut the door. Boom. Next scene, she with Shane at the house, and she comes home mad. Doo-doo-doo-doo. So they're in Virginia, so they must live close to the beach, because she storms home mad. And, you know, Shane's like, what's up, boo? What's wrong? She's like, I just saw John at the beach. And he's like, John? And she's like, yeah, you know, he got into a fight with my dad and he got in my face and he said he's gonna knock me the F out. And Shane's like, what type of man talks to a woman like that? That's crazy. So basically, she basically tells him, like, she wanted to meet with him to get the paternity test. They wanted to know what was going on with the paternity test. They wanted to answer. Answers, you know, she needed the answers. And so Shane's like, I need to know now, is he the dad of Marlo or not? We need to figure out. So, you know, of course Lacey got light a cigarette before she could tell the answer to what's going on. So she pulls out the paternity test. It's all dramatic, you know, WeTV. This was a 2-hour episode, so, you know, the episode ends with her opening it up, and then it ends with her opening it up, but then I'll open it up. And then the next episode she opens up, finds out that John is not the daddy. So they are so happy.
You are not the father.
Okay, it was like an old Maury Povich show over there. Okay, thank you, Maury. So, yes, John is not the father, like Maury said. So, basically, Lacey and Shane begin to plan their wedding. Okay, they're having a beach wedding. They're so excited. And, you know, we see Shane with his friends. They're all dressed up. You know, it's a beach wedding. It's a little low budget. But listen, okay, they still getting married, all right? So, Shane is there. He's with Lacey's dad, John. They drinking. And, basically, you know, John, Lacey's dad, is like, it's a good day. John's not going to be here. Did you hear what happened? You know, with Lacey and John the other day. And Shane's like, yeah, I heard it. First of all, Lacey dad, John, is so messy. Okay. He's here for the drama. Okay. We here at the Purple Pants Podcast, we're here for Lacey's dad. And so basically, like, he's like, yeah, wouldn't that be something if John came to the wedding? And Shane, with all of his little hoodlum goon looking friends, is like, yeah, he ain't going to show up. That ain't going to happen today. So basically, Lacey's getting dressed and, you know, at her bride gown. And of course, as she's got her makeup on, her white gown on, of course she's got to call John. And she calls John. He's like, what's up? And she's like, I just have to tell you that you are not Marlo's father. And of course he's kind of like upset, mad. He says some smart things and she basically like hangs up on him. And so then the producers are talking to John in the car. They like, would you really consider going to the wedding? He's like, yeah, I want to go there and telling them what a dumb mistake they making. And so basically the whole time while like Lacey and Shane, they're showing them like getting ready, walking down the aisle, they show John in the car. I'm like, oh my God, what's about to happen? Ooh, what's about to happen? So basically nothing really happens. Lacey and Shane get married. They kiss, they walk off, and basically they just show John in the car smoking up. But listen, he's not smoking a cigarette. He's smoking a vape. Oh, even better. So he's smoking a vape, and he's like, yeah, you know, to hell with them. I give them 3 months. And then basically, like, the last scene that we see of Shane and Lacey is that, like, it's nighttime. He's carrying her in her white wedding dress to the beach, and whew, you know, they live happily ever after. So I can't believe it, y'all. I can't believe it. We just recapped a whole season of Love After Lockup. If you're as sad as I am, then but listen, baby boy, at the end of that episode, they let us know that January 3rd, not Love After Lockup, but Life After Lockup. So they're going to bring couples back from the first season of Love After Lockup, and you won't believe what couples they bringing back. They're bringing Lacey back. They're bringing Lacey, Shane, and John back. Oof, look like a plot twist with that, okay? They're bringing Angela and Tony, and look like Tommy going to be there. And they're bringing our girl Cheryl and Josh back. And they're bringing, like, four of the original couples back. So, baby, Love After Lockup may have to take its hiatus on the Purple Pants Podcast, but you best believe we will be covering Life After Lockup here on the Purple Pants Podcast. Whew. And that concludes our recap of that. Let's move on to our next segment. All right, so guys, I've got a new segment here on the Purple Pants Podcast that we are going to be debuting this week, and it is called the Purple Pants Premonitions. So first of all, you know, we go together. And so the one thing that I love about social media, my connection to Survivor, is that I get to meet such amazing and dope people. Now, one of my friends, well, one of my followers that became my friends, that's now my good girlfriend, yeah, is amazing. And he goes by the name Gangsta Gurry on Instagram. And he is a hood magician in the woo-woo plug and your professional friend. So I just want to introduce my friend. He is an intuitive method healing and consultant via tarot cards, oracle card readings, and Reiki. I think I said that right. Reiki, right?
Mm-hmm. Reiki. It's Reiki. Mm-hmm. Hey, child, Reiki. People call it whatever they want. It's fine.
Listen, and he is an energy healer, and you know, he is everything. And I just feel like, you know what, let's bring some Purple Pants premonitions to the Purple Pants Podcast. So welcome to the show, Gangsta Gurry.
What's up? Yes, we in the building.
Yes, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, my love. How are you?
I am blessed by the best, so I can't complain.
Amen, Ashe, child. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for wanting to come on the Purple Pants Podcast. It's an honor.
Listen, I be listening every week. You know, I got to support you. Been friends with you for quite some time now, so it's just a blessing that we are here together, and I'm just so proud of everything that you're doing, and I'm proud to be part of this legacy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So let's break down what we came up with, what is going to be the Purple Pants Premonitions.
Yes. Okay, so you contacted me in regards to, well, child, I want to know a little bit about how we can get you on the show talking about what's going to be coming up with the energies and everything. And I was like, you know what? That's a great idea. Why don't I offer this to the Survivor community or those that are interested in just what you are offering and what you have to say, figuring out what the energy that they need to know is specifically so they can go on into a week, into a month, feeling empowered, feeling inspired, and feeling ready to go.
Ready to go. And I always talk about on my podcast is that, like, you know, I am on a road for a better Bryce. Now, I've been on this road for a long time. And I feel like it's important to get in touch with your energy. And I feel like it's important to kind of know what's going on. So here with the Purple Pants Premonition, me and Gangsta Gurry, we're going to come to you twice a month, and I'm going to have Gangsta Gurry give us the energy reading for the beginning of the month and the end of the month, so we ready to go. So these spirits, they can't get us, because we already know what's popping. We gonna see it coming.
Hello?
We gonna know how to maneuver. So listen, without further ado, come on, Gangsta Gurry, give us our Purple Pants premonitions.
Yes.
For early December.
Early December. All right, child. So before I hop into this, for anybody that is brand new to a tarot card reading, oracle card reading, energy reading, it's generally about what the energy is surrounding you in this very moment in time, how you can be aware of it, and how you know to maneuver, as I like to say, going forward. So all I'm going to be doing is focusing on the upcoming 2 weeks. So this would be, we'll say, November 26th, all the way to about December 11th at this point. So what I'm going to do is tell you guys guys what you all should be thinking about, some key lessons, some key ideas, and then give you guys some advice. Because I don't like leaving y'all with just the tea and not giving y'all how to, you know, sip the tea, give you the proper mug to take it in. You dig?
Come on. I mean, you know, they can take it in on the Purple Pants, Let Me Wet the Whistle wine glass. You know, they could take that tea in too because they are available.
Amen. Well, come on. Y'all got plenty of ways to sip the tea. Okay. So, hopping into what we generally have in front of us. So, the energy of the upcoming 2 weeks is all about trying to make decisions in regards to love and making decisions in regards to how we show up for people. You have to remind yourself that you are always keeping your energy first and foremost, but you can only lead with love. One of my biggest themes, one of my biggest lessons in life, I would say core values, is leading with love is how we get to the bag, how we get to the emotional bag, the spiritual bag, the financial bag. Because when you do good to others, good can only be done to you.
Yes.
The first card that came up is the King of Pentacles in reverse. It says you can have your cake and eat it too. If you work hard and do good for others, baby girl, all will be well. You dig? Yes. So, it says, kings are all strong male figures, but that doesn't mean a king card can't represent a woman, even though sometimes it can be less common. This is talking about your focus on success and money. This isn't a bad thing, but you have to be careful not to let your security or nice belongings sweep you away. So this is all about you keeping in mind, yes, it's good to have your balance, good to have your ground, and good to have your finances in order, but that's not what life is solely about. Life is about the love that exists. Life is about the things that appear in your life in order to bring you joy and happiness, and that always doesn't come from a financial bag, as I like to say. It says, go ahead.
I was saying that's like speaking to my soul right now because I recently, I work like 4 or 5 jobs and I recently gave my resignation to one of my jobs because I was like, you know what? My time and my energy is more important than me kind of like going in, making an extra coin, not like being happy, like while I'm at that job. So I feel like that's just rings so true to me because it's like, you know what? I'm putting myself first. I'm giving myself a ring and I am like wanting to say like, hey, it's okay. Like I can forgo without, you know, a couple of extra coins if I have my peace of mind, if I have like, you know, my time to hang out with the people that I want to hang out with, if I just have like, you know, to do for me.
Because at the end of the day, you are the only person that knows you the best. Nobody else can dictate what that is, how that looks like. You are the only person that is the master of that. And you also recognize that the people in your life and where you decide to, you know, spend your energy is where you will be the most focused. You at work struggling, dealing with stuff all the time, dealing with all that negativity, then that's what's going to seep into your spirit regularly. So you have to remember, you got to parse it out. It's all about the balance, boo, as I like to say. Okay. Yes. So, next we have coming up is the Three of Swords. The Three of Swords is all about heartbreak. And we know that heartbreak is unavoidable, but you can learn from it if you go into it with an open mind and an open heart. And that doesn't have to come in relationships. It can come in friendships because friendships are relationships too.
Yes.
I recently just had to have a very, very tough conversation with my best friend about their partner and how their energy was not, I would say, moving in tandem with where I am in my life and what I need to do. And that's no disrespect to your man, boo. That's just me having to make sure that I keep myself protected. But I still love you and I love them. But at the end of the day, I got to make sure that I'm good so I can be good for everybody else that's around me. You dig?
Now, would this apply to, you know, the holidays are coming up and, you know, a lot of the times we're going to be forced to be around family members that may not be the best things for us or their energy may not be the best. You know, we might not get along with this person and we got to like deal with them. So I feel like this is so key and crucial, you know, for the Purple Pants Posse coming up Thanksgiving, Christmas, and we're going to be seeing family members. So I feel like we can apply this to that as well too.
100%. Because if you think about it, all those conversations that you have with your family at this time of the year, it's all a recap. What you've been doing, who you dating, what's going on. They want to know all the hot, juicy gossip, but you can decide whether or not you want to allow that to, you know, seep into your spirit and take you out of the blessing of being with them. They're still alive. They're still breathing. And you guys can learn something from each other because we are all transitioning. We are all shifting in regards to how we want to show up in this world, what we value, and where we want to put our time. That's just the energy and what's going on right now. Next year is going to be so lucrative, but you can't have old stuff going into the new year. You know, everybody's always like, I want to step into my new year, new me. Well, new, do the work now.
Okay.
Okay.
And I have never been a proprietor of New Year's resolutions because I feel like, why wait until the new year to all of a sudden, nope. I always feel like we are a work in progress. And like I've been saying, I'm on a road for a better Bryce. And my road don't start January 1st. I've been on this road,
forever.
And forever, ever. So I just feel like, yes, I'm like, yeah, you know, it's always great to set goals and aspirations, but that's something should be ongoing. That should be something that you are continuously working on yourself.
And the thing about it is, like, it doesn't become real until you see it. So my advice for anybody, if you got those New Year resolutions, people are all in the vision boards. I ain't that girl. But at the end of the day, I am about writing lists, seeing things visually so I can remind myself what the goal is, where I'm going, and how I know to get there. And then it always feels good to cross something off the list. So if you know that there is a conversation that you need to get off your chest over this holiday season, lean in, because it's there to teach you something. You dig? So it says that this suggests previous heartbreak is influencing how you view the world. Is this a good thing keeping you from getting hurt again? Or is it holding you back from trusting others? If this is in the present, ouch, so sorry. Maybe the situation can be repaired with better communication. Probably not, though. So what can you learn? And then this can also air to the future. It can help you to act now to prevent a crisis, or maybe you got to run away from it because you know that you don't got the time, baby girl. So, and last but not least here, going into the next 2 weeks, we have the Nine of Wands in reverse. It says, you may be battered and bruised, but you will survive to fight another day.
Come on.
Maybe you won't have to fight at all. That might make for a nice change of pace. But it's because it's reversed. You already know that this is coming. You know that you have so many brighter days coming. You have to remind yourself it's all about the action. It's all about how you decide to show up. Don't rush. Don't be impatient. Just move into it the way that you know that you're supposed to, because at the end of the day, you will survive. Like, you have to remind, come on now, child, you are a survivor. You ain't going to let up. You're not going to stop. You're just going to work harder.
Okay. Listen, I was trying to get my Michelle verse in real quick.
Yes.
After all of the darkness and sadness, soon comes happiness. If I surround myself with positive things, I will be prosperous. I'm a survivor.
Yes, sir. Okay. Not going to give up. Come on, hit the note. Hit the note.
Oh, come on. I've got my little two-step going on. All right, let me calm down.
But let me tell you, child, it's all about you knowing that you have won a couple of battles. You may have lost a lot, but you've won a couple. Keep in mind that you know how to win. Win on your own lane. It says life is full of battles, large and small. The trick, choosing which ones you are going to fight. Are you using that precious energy on issues too small to really matter? Do you seem to end up fighting the same battle over and over again? There is no dishonor in walking away from a fight if it is not worth the effort. Woo, child. That's a sermon.
Bitch, I don't know about the Purple Pants Posse, but I feel like this reading was for me, okay? Because, listen, I have some things coming up in my life or, like, you know, that I know are coming up. And it's like, I don't want to fight that battle anymore. Like, you know what? You continue to do you, and I'm going to continue to receive my blessing. So I am fully received. Oh.
Yes, child. Woo. Listen, the day. We had to wait for this day in order for it to make sense. And I bet you it's not just for you. There are a lot of people that it can apply to. I was about to say, out of the work, I've been doing this work for quite some time, for a little over 3 years now, almost 4 years. And I always have noticed, it's like, the message is definitely for me, but it's always for somebody else as well. And that's what allows us to connect. We all try to make it out here. We all trying to be seen. We all trying to be authentic to ourselves. But it's about us knowing at the end of the day that if we stand our ground, nobody's going to be mad at us. They're going to respect us because we decided to live for us.
I'm here for that. I am here for this week's Purple Pants Premonition. Yes.
Now, let me go ahead and give you a little piece of advice so you know how to live your life over the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
It says, bring your ideas to life. Okay. This is represented in the electric eel spirit. So this is all about making sure that your ass is grounded, boo. So that way you can bring those ideas to life. You literally told me, you were like, I've been working all these jobs, child. I've been ripping and running. And I know you've been ripping and running because we've been talking, and child, you've been ripping and running.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you this, you can't make anything happen. This goes to anyone. You can't make anything happen if you don't give yourself time to sit and figure it out. You feel what I'm saying? Bring ideas to life. Put some of that energy that you're putting into work for other people. for yourself, boo.
Yes.
Okay. It says, this comes out of nowhere. It appears to awaken you to a big idea that you are meant to explore. Epiphanies and aha moments are gifted to you right now, so celebrate. Your life has the potential for profound transformation. Inspiration arises in you, electrifying you so that you can't wait to get started bringing your idea to life. The revelations you experience now are meant to set you on a new path. Do not be afraid to act. Explore. Examine. Do not fear the changes that may come, for Spirit wants to shower you with the love, success, and abundance that you hope to experience. Now is a thrilling time of epiphanies, inspired ideas, and innovation. This is a wondrous sign for you today. So shout outs to y'all. Shout yes. out. Things is coming together. Right. Come on now. Hit the bell. Yes. Okay, things are coming together, and you know things are coming together because you feel it. This isn't a question. You made moves on your own to allow you to get to this moment in time where you're hearing this. Congratulations, because things are going to shift because you've remained open. It says ideas need to percolate, and they rarely download in detailed form. Have you too quickly dismissed an epiphany because you couldn't see where it might lead you? Have you rushed to follow the muse without taking time to contemplate the meaning of your aha moment? Maybe your dream will take different form than you first imagined, morphing it into something else that's even better. It may be taking some more time to shape than you expected. Have you considered you're meant to learn something in the process of bringing it into being? Commit to transformation and to learning any lessons this new venture will bring. And soon you will see that your aha moment was even more valuable than you realized when you first felt it electrify you. Woo, child.
Yes.
Come on now. Bring them ideas to life, boo. It's time.
It's time. 2020 is approaching. And, you know, listen, we setting goals, visualizing them, being able to see them happen. And what you said that kind of touched me. You said a lot that touched my soul. But be patient.
Mm.
Wait on it.
Listen.
You know, and that's something, you know, be still. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, I feel like we're always caught in the hustle and go. We live in a very fast-paced society. Mm-hmm. And we are always moving at the speed of light. And we aren't just, like, waiting.
Yes.
And we aren't just being present. And I think that is so important.
It is. Like, and the thing about it is, like, if you take a look at your life and think about where you were earlier this year and think about where you are now and all the shifts that you made, can't you give yourself some credit for that? We tend to forget that we've made so many decisions to get us to the current place that we are now based off of situations that didn't work for us. But we also have to remind ourselves that we rested in order to get to this place because we had to allow things to make sense. Rest is an action. Rest is an activity. And we forget that because in rest is when everything, you know, it tends to come together. And this holiday season is supposed to be a restful time. But at the end of the day, you know that you will come out of it a better person because of everything that you go through, whether it is, you know, taxing, whether it may be toxic, but it will be inspirational in some way. It's just about how you choose to look at it, boo.
Yes. And where the bell at? Yes. I'm here for that. Now that, oof, that I am in love with the purple pants premonitions.
Yes.
Okay. I am here for it. Now, can I just be selfish for a quick little second?
Oh, honey, go ahead.
Cause you know, I'm always on a hunt for a good man. And I just am curious about, like, you know, my love life. Is there any, like, can you, you know, shed a little, you know, quick little something on, like, where do you see anything for me? Should I be more focused on myself? What you got for me, girl?
Well, girl, let me go ahead and tell you, because I was going to do a little something, but I just be having to move out the way and let the Lord, let the Spirit, let the goodness of, you know, universe move through me. And they was like, nah, he need a message. He needs some advice. Mm. So we about to see what comes out for you. I'm actually going to use the same cards that I gave the advice from for the collective to tell you exactly what you need to know in regards to your love life, child, okay? Because we all out here trying to, listen, I'm on the same path. I'm trying to find me a husband, okay? But
yes.
I also know that we got to move, I have to move correct, and I have to move in a way that's authentic to me. And I'm going to pass this to you. Every time you go on a date and you find somebody brand new, don't you feel like you're getting close to that person? Because it feels like the energy is authentic to what you're looking for. Right or wrong?
Correct.
That's the sign that you are moving in flow with where you're supposed to be, because every single person is a representation of the energy that you are bringing in that moment. Mm. So you have to remind yourself, if it feels like it's getting closer, it is. So
yeah, but sometimes one of my problems is I go on a date, the first date, and then I'm planning the rest of my life.
Whoa,
so, you know,
me too,
so,
girl. We gotta be open, and we gotta, you know, yeah, make sure that we see all of the parts, because we don't want to waste our time. We too old for that.
Listen, well, I mean, I don't know about you, girl, but I'm still in my early to mid 20s to early 30s. So, you know,
girl, get off my line. Get off my line. Listen, heard you, but we're very serious about, like, we have intention with everything that we do and how we decide to move. Why wouldn't it be the same with our love life?
Right.
Your message, it says co-create with spirit. So let me ask you a question. When's the last time you wrote your list? And you know the list I'm talking about.
It's been some time.
It's time for you to take a step back and do that again. Because I have to, you know, check in, because you meet all these people. You see what you brought in, but then you don't reflect on what was there and be appreciative of that. And then think about what else you need to add. So that way you got the whole meal. You ain't got just the appetizer. You ain't got just the dessert. You got the full entree. You dig?
I'm sorry. I heard the appetizer. I didn't have the what? I you know, my mic must have. You said dessert.
The dessert. The dessert. You heard me. You heard me trying a nice slice of cheesecake or something like that with a little raspberry drizzle, boo.
Okay. That's not the drizzle.
It says, as you look around you, can you sense the magic that pulses through the world? Have you witnessed how every thought can become a thing, how every intention can call the universe into action as the sacred laws shape what you experience? The universe works in perfect order. When you align your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs, you will want to crow with delight, feeling the excitement and wonder of being in harmony with something much larger than yourself. You are right on target to see your dreams magically come into being in the visible world. So this is all about they coming. You just have to continue to draw them in. I bet you do this list. Take about a week or two. I want you to see what the next encounter with a potential partner or a date is like. And I want you to notice how it's even closer to what you're looking for if it's not, you know, right on the mark. It says the laws of abundance, compensation, frequency, and praise. Come on, praise. Come on, praise.
Come on.
Come on, praise. They operate in your favor, boo. So it says, no matter what area of life you're concerned with now, what you hope for is on its way. For spirit is your co-creation partner. So you need to ask the Lord. The Lord wants a little of your time. The Lord said, tell me what you want so I can go ahead and put it in the queue and create that for you. Okay.
Yes. He may not come when you want him.
But he always come right on time. Hallelujah,
right on time. Yes. I am here for that. Yes.
Of course. It says, do you believe that there once was, but it ran out, leaving nothing to ordinariness? Talking about the magic in the world. Although conditions have become challenging, you have no reason to believe everything you set an intention on for will elude you. Right now, the outer world is shifting. Can you feel it? Maybe you're fretting about experiencing the results of some of your poor choices or judgment from the past. This is here to remind you, you can always course correct and get back on track. Maybe you've been hit by a loss or disappointment as a result of an event that had absolutely nothing to do with your manifesting, yet it's shaking you to your core. This asks you to trust, no matter the temporary conditions, things will right themselves soon. The law of balance makes it inevitable, and this too shall pass. So you just had a huge shift. You said that before we even said this. So what you have to allow that to do is be the domino effect in all the relationships in your life and think about what it is that you want to draw in. So that way you can see it happen in the world around you. It's coming. Stay open.
Okay. I'm going to try to. I'm going to try.
You doing. You doing. We don't do that try. We do.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm doing. And I'm going to get on my list. That is on. I'm writing that down right now.
Come on.
To create this list. This was amazing. Everything. I loved it. Yeah. And I hope that you guys received it and got something out of it. If you guys are enjoying the Purple Pants Premonitions, let us know.
Yes.
Tweet me. Write me a DM. Let me know that you've enjoyed it or not. But this will conclude this week's Purple Pants Premonition. We want to thank my girl, Gangsta Gurry, for coming through. But real quick, Gangsta Gurry, let them know where they can find you. Let them know if somebody wants a personal tarot card reading. Let them know how they can get in contact with you. sis.
Listen, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for these blessings. And I'm blessed to be able to speak with all of you guys and for y'all to receive this. And I can't wait to see all the wonderful things that happen for y'all. If you want to contact me, gangstaguri.me. And it's gangsta with an A because we don't do that E-R buster shit over here. Mm-hmm. And G-U-R-R-Y.me. Because, I mean, it is me, girl.
Yeah, it definitely is. Okay. And make sure you guys follow him on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's Gangsta Guri, mm-hmm. GangstaGuri. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for coming on. And we will see you in the middle of December for our the middle of the month reading.
Right. I can't wait to have this check-in because I already know the DM's about to be jumping, boo. They about to be like, oh, my God, he was right. And I'm going to be like, yeah, girl, that's why I do what I do.
Listen, okay? Listen, the hood magician. Mm-hmm. Thank you again.
You're so welcome.
Whew, I hope you guys enjoyed that segment as much as I did. And listen, I definitely will be writing my list. And let me know your feedback on the Purple Pants Premonitions. It'll be back in 2 weeks for our, you know, second half monthly reading. Now, right, moving right along, let's get into my favorite part of the show, the Purple Pants Picks. All right, so we got Zach Brooks on Instagram. Brooks ZA writes, Thanksgiving food. Woo! Y'all know Thanksgiving is coming up. It's a couple of days away. And baby boy, I'm ready to eat, okay? I've been trying to stay strong to my diet these last 2 weeks. You know, I haven't been carb loading. I've been running. I've been, you know, trying to keep it cute because baby boy is going to pig out, okay? I needs the turkey. I needs the ham. I needs the candy yams. So, you know, I make a little dish. I do like sauteed mushrooms. I don't know how I even started doing this, but like when I was like 7 years old, I started sauteing mushrooms and they're like so delicious. So that's my contribution. Of course, you know, I'd be helping Barb in the kitchen. We got our petty pies. You know, we got our peach cobbler. You know, we got our string beans. Now, we don't really do the string bean casserole like that, but you know, we got our string beans. We got our collard greens, you know, with the turkey neck in it. You know, oh, I'm just so, oh. Oh, let me wet the whistle. Zach, you getting me too excited. And and you cannot forget, okay? The cranberry sauce. And listen, I only eat my cranberry sauce if it comes out of a can, Zach. All right, I don't know about y'all, but I love me some cranberry sauce. All right, moving right along. Elizabeth Taylor on Instagram, EA Taylor writes, thoughts on kids. Do you want them one day? Do you like them? Now, girl, that is a good question. So I definitely want children. Do I think it's in the cards for me? I don't know. Like where I'm at in my life, I wouldn't want to bring children in this world. And obviously, you know, I'm a gay black man. So, you know, and I don't got no ovaries, so I can't have children. So ideally, you know, I would want to be with a partner. I would want to be, you know, financially stable, to bring, you know, children into this world. And I want to be like fancy. I want to be like Jeff Lewis. I want to be like Candy. I want to have a surrogate. Like, you know, I want to actually have children that are mine. So that is, you know, what I would like to happen. I don't know if the world, the future holds it for me. At the very least, you know, me being a social worker, I would like at some point to maybe adopt a child if, you know, a surrogacy is not an option. But, you know, I came from a single family home. And so I definitely want to, you know, give more to my children. So I would love to be in a committed relationship with my partner and to, like, you know, bring a child into this world, foster a child or adopt children. So hopefully one day soon, I don't know. If not, I would be okay. I've got enough nieces and nephews in my life. I've got godchildren in my life that I've practically raised, you know, since they were born. I was there when they were born. I'm still in their life. So I've got a lot of love around me. But, you know, that is something that I do want. So hopefully one day, you know, come on, Elizabeth, you try to get me all emotional, girl. Oh, yes. All right. So moving right along, next Purple Pants picks come from Debo 55 or 22, because I wrote it at night and I can't see my handwriting. He goes, can we discuss the eating the rhino beetles and the Survivor Philadelphia? Give us the details. Yes, I've been telling you guys about Survivor Philadelphia. You know, Alex G and Mike Corona put this on and they are airing on YouTube. I believe we're up to episode 4. And listen, I made the merge. Yes, Kagian, what? Okay, third out. Who? Yes, I made the merge, baby boy. And so one of the challenges before and mind you, I believe I was on the Tuscarora tribe. One of the challenges that we had to do was an eating challenge where we had to eat like saltine crackers. And then it was like we had to eat like 5 saltine crackers. And if each tribe could get all of their members to complete the challenge. You had to eat like the 5 saltine crackers. Everyone had to do it within 2 minutes. Then we moved on to like the sudden death challenge. And the sudden death challenge was each member would have to put up one person. And I believe it was me and this girl named Lexi. And we had to eat rhino beetles, baby boy. And you know, you know, eating ain't a problem for me. So I drenched them rhino beetles right on rhino beetles right on down. Now, mind you, that my mouth was tasting a little nasty for the rest of the day, the week, the month, actually. Can't really. And then, you know, I got home, I was picking a little beetle antenna out my tooth. But listen, anything to take the challenge home. So, yeah, eating those beetles was definitely something for the books. But, yes, we won that challenge. Okay. And we made the merch. And if you guys have not, check out Survivor Philadelphia. They have an Instagram page. And then they have a link where you can watch the episodes. They're really, really fun and riveting. It's almost like watching a real Survivor. Okay. Yes. Moving right along. We got Gracie Poo 13. Crazy family members around the holidays. Whew. Girl, do I know a thing or two about them? And we kind of sort of talked about that. And, you know, Purple Pants Premonition. You know, you can't pick your family. So, you know, you got to, you know, choose your battles wisely. And a lot of the times, we already know the crazy family member is crazy. So keep, stay away, high and by, keep it cute, Gracie. Don't let them steal your joy. Don't let them steal your holiday spirit. If you're like me, the holiday one in the family, don't let them steal your joy. Keep it cute. They try to pick a fight. Keep it moving. Don't, you know, I feel like a fight is like fire and it needs air to breathe. Suffocated. Don't give it no air to breathe. Keep it moving. Enjoy your cranberry sauce, Gracie Poo, and let it go. Be like Toni Braxton and let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it. Na-da-da-da-da-da. Yes, okay. Come on, Toni Braxton. Yes. All right, now let's get down to our final one. This comes from, who is this? I'm No Super Mom 2. She writes, can I know the story of Bryson Wendell's bromance? Come on, I'm No Super Mom 2. Well, listen, I don't feel like it's fair for me to tell the story of our friendship. Let's see if we can get Mr. Wendell on the line. Wendell, can you tell I Am No Super Mom 2 the story of our friendship?
So, a listener of the podcast wants to know the story behind the Bryce Isaiah and Wendell Holland bromance, whatever you want to call this friendship of ours. The truth of the matter is actually, Bryce is my first real Survivor friend that's not on, that was not on my season, Ghost Island. When I got home, obviously, I came home with a bunch of friends from my season. But then, as the cast was announced, Bryce reached out to me, a Philly boy that was on Survivor a few seasons before mine. He reached out to me and looked out for me. He was like, yo, let's link. Welcome to the family. And so actually, I was throwing a watch party and I had to cancel it because it was a blizzard outside. It was snowing like crazy. So I decided to watch the show at my parents' house. It was like me, my mom, my sister, my little bro, Joey. And I get a text from Bryce saying, hey, I'm outside. This guy drove like 40 minutes out to Villanova in a blizzard to meet me for the very first time. And that showed a lot to me. I was like, man, this is a solid guy. And from then on, I've learned that, you know, he's become obviously one of my best friends in the world, one of those most loyal friends I've ever had. And yeah, love the guy to death. So that's the story of how we became friends. And over time, we've done everything together, traveled a lot together, competed in Survivor Philadelphia and South Africa together. And yeah, solid guy, true, genuine friendship, more like a brotherhood. And I'm just so thankful and blessed that we're friends. Love that dude.
Well, you know that's my brother. Shut up, that's my dad. Okay, and I don't like you, Timmy. Be quiet. Anyway, that's Mr. Wendell Holland, the winner of Ghost Island season, whatever season it was, and my best friend. Yes. All right. So that concludes, you know, the Purple Pants picks. Now let's get into advice with Bryce. This advice with Bryce comes from Christopher Brozzarini. Now, I don't know if I'm saying your name right, Chris. And listen, he didn't ask to remain anonymous. You know, I love to read the names, but I understand if you guys want to be anonymous. He writes a quick one. He goes, here's the situation. I'm relatively a new homeowner. This is the first time in my life I'm living on my own, and I'm embracing it. A close friend of mine who I've known for 10 plus years is currently needing a place to live, and he asked me if he could stay with me. I'm torn about it. He's a good guy, but I'm enjoying my independence. I also don't want to lose him as a friend if having him as a roommate goes south. Your thoughts. Now, see, Christopher, I got a particular, like, skew on this. I've always, after I moved out of Bob's house, you know, at the tenderoni age of like 23, I've always been on my own. I've never really had a roommate. I've always just, you know, college was an experience for me. I was a crazy roommate. I wasn't a crazy roommate, but I've always lived on my own. So if you feel like you are at a point in your life where you are a homeowner, first of all, congratulations on owning a home. That's a huge accomplishment. And if you're at a point where you're saying like, hey, I'm enjoying my independence, there is nothing wrong with you to say like, you know what, at this point, friend, I can't offer my home up to you. So like, that's one way to look at it. Cause like, you know, you got to put yourself first. You got to give yourself a ring here. Okay. It ain't no hocus pocus. Cause when that mortgage is due, you the one paying for it. Now, however, on the flip side, if having a friend could maybe offset that mortgage, able for you to save a little bit of money because, you know, homeownage at the Purple Pants Podcast, it's a lot. You know, the roof might go, the water heater might go, you know, the ceiling might collapse, and, you know, you're not renting anymore. You're a homeowner. So all of that stuff costs money. So maybe having a roommate, you know, to offset some bills and for you to set some money aside for a rainy day could be an option for you. That's great. I think that if you decide to go that route, Chris, what you could do is just lay some ground rules, like, you know, let them know, or just think to yourself, like, what are some of the things that you enjoy and what are some of the things that you're not going to put up with? And I think that if you can have an open line of communication with that friend and say, hey, these are what I'm expecting of you. I really want to maintain the friendship. I don't want, you know, I've heard of horror roommate stories before. I don't want that to happen to us. And, you know, make an agreement with that friend. And that way that if you do decide to do that, you're upfront with it. You're not just saying, hey, move in. And then, you know, they do whatever. Like, set very clear ground rules about what your expectations are, how you prefer to live your house, because ultimately they living with you, so they need to kind of, like, you know, conform to your lifestyle. So I feel like, and if this friend is such a good friend of 10 years, I feel like they can understand, and I feel like, you know, you would be a good friend by helping them out. They're going to be offsetting some of the bills, you could save a little extra money, so it could really work out. So I mean, I'm all for it both ways. If, like, you know, if you're saying like, hey, I just want to, like, you know, live this year by myself, be independent, take some strides, that's perfectly fine. Also at the same time, if you're saying, hey, you know what, I can save a coin, you know, have some company, it's great. I just think that either way, be transparent with the friend. Tell them the reason why you just want to live on your own right now. And if you decide to bring them into your home, then be upfront and give them, and lay down the law, baby boy. I think that you'll be fine. But thanks again, Chris, for your submission of Advice with Bryce this week. And if you guys out there need some advice, you know how to hit me. purplepantspodcast@gmail.com, and I gotcha, baby boy. Well, this looks like it's coming to the end of this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. But if you guys are listening, I need for you to subscribe to this podcast. I need for you to rate it. I need for you to write a review and show your boy some love. Also, I've got a special announcement. Next week's episode, you know, it's Thanksgiving. I want everybody to have a happy holiday. I'm gonna be with my family, and I'm gonna be with Barb, not Barb from the Midwest area, but Barb from the Philly area. And so I'm going to have my mom on the podcast. So if you guys got any questions for my mom, I need for you to, you know, I'm a up a post, so you can write it in the comments, or you could DM me, or you could email me, purplepantspodcast@gmail.com. But yes, we're going to have Mother Barb on here, so show my mommy some love. So yes, get some questions in for my mom. And if you got some advice with Bryce, I'll do advice with Bryce with my mom too. So it'll be advice with Barb and Bryce. But if you got any questions, anything you want to know about my mom, any questions, anything, nothing's off limit. You know we're going to be wet in the whistle. So yes, get those in. And I want you guys to have a happy, happy holiday. Thank you so much. I feel like we go to together. So why you ain't invite me to Thanksgiving? If we go together, why you ain't invite me to Thanksgiving? I need to know. Okay? Love you much. You already know. It's a
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Woo. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Woo. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. She's trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.